20 boys in London, just an elite. It might as well have been making toys. Strings of bees, it couldn't be. Gallery.
Danny Fisher, you're now tuning into the Mile High Show. This is a segment called Kaleidoscope, where you talk to me, the host, Danny Fisher, and my special guest. Sometimes it's a visual artist, sometimes it's a musician, sometimes it's someone who makes meat in their basement and just really celebrates life. The intention of you tuning in right now and for what we have to express to you are a few things. Sometimes we're talking about, if you are an artist or a musician and you're wanting to promote yourself, get yourself out there, be more successful, be happy with yourself and what you're creating, some tips, some free advice from other artists. Sometimes we just want you to get off your butt and do something creative, whether you're an accountant or a nursing home worker or a community member, whether you're busking on the corner here at Prescott Courthouse Square, you're an artist. Your life is you art, your art. You know, take care of it. So today I'm very fortunate to be right a few shops away from St. Michael's here on, are we on Gurley? It's Gurley, right?
Montezuma. Whiskey Row.
Whiskey Row.
Yep. And Gurley.
And I'm here with Dave Newman of the Newman Gallery. Now, I lived here 7 years ago, and I was in Pennsylvania for 7 years, and I came back, and the last time I was here, Dave, there was a ton of hearts everywhere. Hearts were really your thing, and it's really cool to just walk in here after 7 years and see your style rearrange. Very cool. So, welcome. Did you do those too?
No, those are not mine. But we like all hearts. So
very good. So definitely plug yourself. Tell us where you are, where we can find you. Just get that stuff out of the way so we don't have to worry about it.
We have two websites, NewmanGallery.net and DaveNewmanStudio.com. Mm-hmm. And the gallery site has a lot of the items in the store. And then the Dave Newman site has my original artworks.
Which other place? The Dave Newman one does?
Yes.
So in your gallery, you've learned to also, as I do my own artwork and promote myself all the time, but you're also reaching out to other artists to bring stuff in here. Also, they tell other people to come. And not only that, but you're being supportive of other artwork. I know it's important that it definitely needs to sell.
Right.
You know, that's the point. It has nothing to do with whether you like an artist or not. It's got to move because this is the way you pay your bills.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. We try and support a lot of local artists. And then we also, have artists from California. Just basically whatever artwork we like. And when we travel, we pick up new people and just try and support the arts.
So you're fortunate enough, and I will ask you how long you've been here, but you've... Even if you didn't start that way, you're fortunate enough, and it doesn't mean that there's not darkness that you have to work on, but that you're able to travel with your wife and seek out other artists and help collaborate with them. When I say collaborate, you don't necessarily always do artwork with them, but you're helping
market their work.
It's an exchange.
Right.
It's an exchange.
And, you know, we did art shows for 11 years all around the country, and then when we opened our gallery, I had a lot of friends, and a lot of my friends, I had their work in the gallery and still continue to do that. So we had kind of a nice segue, say, hey, we're opening a gallery. They knew who we were.
They already knew you because you were. So how many years did you run around and promote your own butt off with your own art and make all these friends before you decided to stay put and open a gallery and exhaust your energies in that direction?
We traveled the country for 11 years, and then we decided to get off the road. I was getting... had kind of a bad attitude, and I needed to get off the road. It really was a lot of fun, but we decided to open a gallery, and we've been here almost 15 years.
Wow. And were you an artist when you were... I mean, I believe we're all artists when we're born, but were you aware of the part that connected you to the world with your art? Did you know that that's what you wanted to be at a young age, or did it take a while?
No, I had no idea I would become an artist. I actually became an artist at the age of 32.
Nice.
And I'm self-taught. And we had a screen printing business in California. And we had that for 11 years. And I started studying about the pop artist, Andy Warhol, Robert Rauschenberg. And it's like, God, I would really like to do this. And so I just started reading and doing and going to museums. And so I've been a full-time artist now for almost 28 years now.
Amazing. And when you produce and sell, do you also do prints? Do you find that you sell more originals or that your print business helps? Like, how do you think it's half and half, or does it depend on the month?
I don't really do prints. I do some litho posters of some of my images, but I'm in five other galleries also around the country. So that keeps me pretty busy with my original work. So I don't really.
That's amazing. You want that extra step. You said, you're always standing, you're always working and drilling and nailing. Do you have a messy room like me? I just wash my hands so you can't see too much.
I feel like I'm a kid. At the end of the day, I have my studio, and I'm very fortunate to have plywood floors, and I can do whatever I want. And at the end of the day, if I want to clean up, I clean up, and if I don't, I don't.
And sometimes if you leave the lid off, it gets a nice texture. If your paint was too thin.
Exactly. And I've got a great Jackson Pollock floor going, so I'm good music. I'm pretty happy. So
nice, and kudos. What do you find that there's a certain time limit when, obviously, you're a business owner, you have a wonderful partner that helps you do the finances and be your banker, I'm sure, help you organize and talk to the artists about their expectations when they come into your gallery, talk to the customer. But do you find that there's a time limit when you're working with the arts if you have to turn on the other side of your brain and just do business stuff?
Right.
Do you find that there's a time when you lose it because it's time to get back to art?
Well, yeah, like Facebook, for instance, years ago, I was not a big fan, maybe even longer ago. And I thought it was not a waste of time, but I'm too busy painting. I need to be doing this. And now I'm a firm believer, and I have been on there quite a bit with my art and promoting the gallery. And I think it's a great tool. And as an artist, you need to know how to do all those things, just like talking to people. You know, being able to ship your artwork, being able to do your artwork, being able to go to a gallery and ask.
Wrapping and shipping is probably almost a full-time job. I'm fortunate my husband works at the shipping and receiving department at Emery Riddle.
Nice.
So he brings home, I don't have to pay for my cardboard. I don't have to pay for my bubble wrap, but I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
That's not the case with everybody. Sometimes those supplies add another $100 to your bill, and then you do insurance.
Yeah. And if I have to build a crate, which I absolutely hate.
Yeah.
You know, but it's all part of what it is of being an artist. And it's, you know, it's not always fun, but 99% of the time it is. And so it's a business.
Yeah.
So it's, but yeah, you know, you just got to do a lot of different, you got to wear a lot of different hats as an artist. So
what are some of, I know it's great that you say you feel like a kid again, but have you bonded with any of your collectors and buyers?
Oh yeah.
What is that relationship like? Because I know the artists that first get started, and I know for myself, there are positive and negatives. You know, first you get past like, oh, my friends and my family are just saying they like my art to make me happy.
Yeah.
Then you get to the phase that you're cutting too good of deals with these people, but you're starting to build confidence.
Right.
Then you get to the phase that it doesn't matter if they're a friend or not, depending on the situation. They got to pay you for your art.
Right.
But you have much more experience and time in that. I was an art teacher much longer than I was a business person with my art.
Right.
And have you found what, like the relationship with some collectors or enthusiasts about your art, some positive and negatives, or just kind of the balance that you have to learn to really maintain your customer base?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be friends with all your collectors, but I've stayed at collectors' homes, you know, on trips. They've had us over for dinner. I mean, I have a number of collectors that, you know, some have 10, 15 pieces. And we've, you know, they've been with me since the early 90s. And so it's really a neat bond. And it's neat to see their kids grow up. It's neat to see them come in the gallery. Then you go through their divorces.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And then the art gets split up. And
Well,
that's kind of a weird deal. So
right. I think it's funky.
It's just such a fun business. And it's exciting because you're making people happy. And you're selling art, and you're doing something that's fun. So it's, you know, it's not like selling batteries at a store or something. You know, it's making a difference.
Unless you invented the battery.
Yes, and you're getting royalties, and you need your flashlight to go on,
right?
Or something. But yeah, it's. I mean, I don't know what else I'd be doing right now. I love what I do, and it's just really a great time to be an artist.
Wonderful. This is, I think, my 7th episode. I'm not quite sure. But my background and why I care so much and why I'm trying to get this inspiration out to the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, we live in Prescott. It's an amazing place. There is tons of art, like-minded people, et cetera, et cetera. But also, I'm speaking to the people that go, I'm not an artist, you know, and they might be doing something really amazing with their life. So I talk about both sides. But part of the reason is just, I knew as an artist when I was a kid, but all the different things and how art has helped heal people. When you were in your 30s, you started doing art. Did you find that it was something healing for yourself, regardless of the money aspect?
No. Actually, I think part of my beginning artistic thing might have been when I was in my teens. I built show trucks for car shows.
Oh, cool.
And so I didn't think of that as artistic until later on. And then when I became an artist in my 30s, I thought, wow, maybe that was my first artistic venture. But the art thing wasn't really any healing thing for me. I've always been a very happy and fortunate person. And the art, I just wanted to make art so badly. And when I went to museums, I'd see the work in there and I was like, oh,
I can do that.
Well, I didn't think that at the time.
Yeah.
But I do now. But, you know, it was a very, just to go to those museums and galleries and read the books and see the work was just exhilarating. And I still feel the same way. And
you have art ants in your pants.
I do.
And it's got to come out.
Well, everything's about travel is art and restaurants, art, music, art, everything.
They go together. Art, music, food and beer or not beer. It doesn't matter. But those kind of four things go with the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I had a job at a gay bar in Allentown, Pennsylvania, actually. And I just approached them about an art show.
Right.
So I had my monthly art show. Advertised like heck for this big opening, you know, small opening, lots of people I already knew. Sold 6 paintings for the month of the art show. Heard they needed a bartender. Said, I'll do your bartending job. Worked there for a month, sold 20 paintings and quit.
Yeah.
you know,
that's great.
It is. And I have found, I know some other artists. I represent artists at Granite Mountain Brewing. Mm-hmm. I do Mile High Artist League. And some artists don't need my help. They're so good. They're self-promoters. They get their own shows. I don't need to do anything. I do that for myself on the side, and kudos to the people. We tag team on different restaurants and different places, but some people don't have that experience, and like I kind of help build them up. But what I've learned over the years is, especially with when I had the bartending job, is one, if you are a drinker or a beer drinker, you're doing that. If you're not an addict, you're doing that to relax and enjoy your atmosphere. So your guard is down already. You're looking at art not because how much is it going to be in 10 years.
Right.
You're really looking at the art because your guard is down now, you're relaxed, and you like it or you don't. And then when – oh, lost my train of thought for a second because I was looking at all the beautiful artwork around here. But when you add the food and the music, it's almost – it's just the best situation.
It is.
And your gallery is extremely – like you have – wonderful stuff here. We've got tons of jewelry. I'm sure you have every price range because that's a big trick.
Right.
But I'm sure people can come in here and they don't feel like you're stalking them.
Right.
you know?
Or ignoring them.
Right.
Which can be also the case. But we're friendly to everyone and welcome them, ask if they need help, and then, you know, let them look around because even for a small space, there's a lot going on in here.
Right. And you've got the music going.
Right.
So. But when you add that art, music, and possibly beer or atmosphere combo, amazing things happen. Yeah. Tiffany's Lamp and Glass Place serves people when they walk in the door, champagne and chocolate, because what's in the chocolate and the champagne does something to a chemical. It's a chemical in your brain that tells your brain good things are going to happen.
Right.
So you're not thinking about what you financed last week.
Right.
Or what's going to get automatically deducted from your bank account.
Sure.
You're like, ooh, something good's going to happen. So I'm going to go buy some art. It may sound like a trick, but considering all the tricks in the world and all the propaganda out there, I think we're on the good side.
Yeah. It's pretty tame. It's like going to the movies and escaping.
Yeah.
You know, you go for an hour and a half and like it's nice and dark and you get some candy or popcorn or whatever and you escape for an hour and a half and it's like, wow, that was a nice break.
Right. Sometimes it makes all the difference and they get to take it home with them.
Yeah.
Are there pieces that particularly speak to you? And then I'm going to get into your different styles because I just from being here a couple of times, see the change in your artwork. But are there things that people have collected or bought and per se said, this symbolizes a perfect memory? Like you already said, the divorces, they split up your artwork.
Right.
Yeah. I get that. And that must mean they're worth something because you work so hard.
Yeah.
For instance, in Pennsylvania, I still sell pagodas at a tiny microbrew bar. And there's a pagoda on the hill in Reading, and it's just a little Chinese building.
Right.
Everybody has their car show, their motorcycle show, they hike, they have race, you know, skateboard down the hill things. It's a big place for the community. And I still sell things because, and when I sell them from Pennsylvania, somebody will tell me, the pagoda is where my husband proposed to me.
Right.
So I need a picture of that.
Right.
Have you tapped in and benefited from things such as that? Not necessarily that your art is all about just trying to sell, because it has to speak to you and you work at it all day and you want to be happy and be a kid at the end of the day.
Right.
But have you tapped in to what your people want, or is that just not important to you because you're following your path?
Oh, no. Well, I'm able to do a lot of my own work that I want to do, but I do a lot of commission work for people. You know, someone has passed away, an anniversary, someone retired and they're a banker, but they like motorcycles, banking, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I can meld all those things together. So I do a lot of corporate commissions. I do private commissions. And there's some commissions I probably wouldn't do if someone wanted something like on ballerinas or something.
Right.
It's just not my thing.
People want fairies from me, and I'm just, I do fairies and they look like skeleton people.
Yeah. I can't do it. So I know when to say no, but 99% of the time, it's, you know, if they know my work, they know they'll have to trust me. I don't do sketches. It's pretty much what I do, and they get that. So I don't mind doing that.
Excellent. You're listening to the Mile High Show. This is Danny Fisher, your host. This is the Kaleidoscope segment. This is about art in your community, celebrating your creative life and spirit, and also promoting yourself if you do have some creative gift that you're trying to get out there and profit or make a living from. Speaking of making a living, this is the Mile High Show. That would be MileHighShow, HIGH.com. We need to keep our lights on, so if you want to help support us, go ahead and order all your Amazon off of our website, milehighshow.com. Use the Amazon button and shop away to help us keep our lights on. Again, this is Danny Fisher, artist, housewife, interviewer of today. Dave Newman here at the Newman Gallery on Whiskey Row. 15 years he's been here in this town. Dave, go ahead and tell us where we can find you again.
At davenewmanstudio.com and then newmangallery.net.
Wonderful. Now about your artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You, like I said, it's been 7 years. And the last time I was here, you had some, and I bought 7 prints. I spent like $300 or $400. And guess how I did that? I caught a gin and grapefruit juice buzz over at St. Michael's. And I came over, and it was after tax time, and I bought a series of Day of the Dead. And it was a butterfly mariposa or something.
Right, yeah.
Day of the Dead. There's one called Brothers, and their hands are around each other. That's in my son's room.
Oh, cool.
So I purchased a lot here a very long time ago. But I have noticed that there are still hearts and all that kind of stuff. But the last time I was here, you were very crisp with bright colored hearts. And that, I'm talking 6-7 years ago. And now when I walk in and I still see hearts and I still see the same kind of Day of the Dead, bright, fiery feel in here, along with some amazing jewelry pieces. We've got Spanish crosses, unless it's a local artist, but they look like Spanish crosses. And then I'm assuming this is your artwork up
it
here.
Is, yes.
You have moved on to your other stuff was playful with solely the paint and the vision. Your stuff now is playful, but you're using mixed media. And my family and I, my husband particularly likes to use refurbished pieces in his art and make them funky. But I see a refurbished clock. I see American Western themes such as the gas stations, Route 66. I see the Native Americans. I see American stuff. And I've heard all kinds of stuff from other artists around here, but there is something to be said for the American way and having this wonderful rodeo here and having all of that and tapping into that. I have cow skull art myself. So back in the day, it was just the paint, and now you've learned to get super playful. And there's even photos in there. They could be personal photos from your childhood or people you know. I know it's a long time away since the last stuff I saw, but if there's any way you could explain the transition of your style?
Well, I've always painted hearts and coffee cups and done mixed media works. And it's just sometimes you paint enough hearts that you're done for a while and then you move on to something else and then you revisit them. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't done hearts in a while, but I've got a show coming up in Scottsdale at the gallery there.
Xanadu
Gallery, yep. January 21st. And most of the work there is mixed media works. And most of my other galleries that I'm in carry only the mixed media works. So that's why...
Because they're the original pieces and they're not lithos.
Right. Yeah, these are original mixed media pieces.
And you can't replicate this piece. If you think you're going to do a Dave Newman knockoff, you're going to be super busy and we're still going to know, just so you know.
Well, thanks.
The artwork in it, the photos, are they personal photos? Are there personal pieces? I know we have a pile of stuff. Someone drops... breaks a chandelier.
Right.
Someone, you know, breaks a clock, whatever it is. We make a pile of people give us, somebody just gave us a bunch of funky necklaces. We keep all those beads aside.
Sure.
And I use 50-50 epoxy to put them on, but we save them. Sometimes they sit there for a year, and then sometimes we might give them away because we're like, we have too much junk around here. And then the next thing you know, you're looking at a piece of artwork and you're like, I needed that.
Yeah.
Do you go through the same kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we were antiquers and junkers before I was an artist. And so it kind of segued into my art as well. We go to Texas. We used to go twice a year, but Round Top, mm-hmm. Texas, we go collecting and junking. And I find a lot of my signage and materials. And then a lot of the pieces are my photographs that I use in my work as well. But maps, postcards... my photographs, wood, metal, you know, whatever I can get my hands on.
I had a friend I saw on Facebook today. I knew him in high school. He became a photographer, and the lottery was like $1.4 billion in Pennsylvania. He paid $2 for a lottery ticket, didn't win, and he said, I'm selling my ticket for $14 now, and he drew a whole landscape on it and like painted it.
That's funny. That's cool.
It was kind of neat, but it sounds like your new style with the picker type stuff in there is you think like the person buying it because you were that person looking through old stuff and enjoying it.
I love. In fact, a friend of mine from California just sent me a whole box of family photos, old magazines from the 50s, and people are constantly sending me items, which is awesome because I love that stuff. And I usually pick up the stuff people aren't looking for. And to me, they're real treasures and they're like time capsules, my work, you know, that you can go back into time and look into those pieces. And I think that's why my work appeals to young and old. The older people are revisiting it, and the younger people are seeing it for the first time and think it's cool. Yeah. So it's a nice range of people.
Wonderful. That's a good way to explain it. So we are here with Dave Newman. Anything? Oh, I had another question.
Yes.
15 years in Prescott.
Well, actually, we've been here 19 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then the gallery, we've had 15 years.
Okay.
In July, yeah.
So your story, you came to Prescott. This seemed like a nice place to settle after all the crazy traveling.
Yeah.
And then eventually, it was time to open this gallery.
Right.
How has Prescott changed in the arts community and community-wise over those years? Were there harder years for an artist with a gallery and studio in this town than there are now, or is it vice versa?
Well, I think it's easier now. I have to say, when we opened, it was July of 2001, and so we had, 9/11.
Yeah, and nobody wanted to buy art then.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the recession of 2008, so we've weathered a couple, big storms. So, but there's definitely a better art scene now. There's more people in town. You know, when we first opened, it was pretty tough, I have to say.
Was your style not in the flow of the typical style that the community expected at the time? And did that ever, I know we're artists and we know to put ourselves out there. I had a gallery and studio in Boyertown, Pennsylvania, and it was a very small conservative town.
Right.
And some people were like, oh, we're so glad you're here. We needed this. And other people were like, whoa, why are you here? You know?
Yeah.
Did you notice there was a time when it didn't feel like you were completely accepted, and did it ever affect you and your dreams and your goals?
Well, I think, my work's a little different anyway, so it's not just like, someone that does landscapes or straight paintings. My work has a lot of different things going on, and I think at first like at the Phippen show, when I first applied to the Phippen back in the late 90s, I think, they actually called me up and asked, what is this? And, you know, I was a little like, well, this is what
this
I do. And
art.
I did get in. And then years later, I won an award there.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think people, I still get that. I think all artists that do work get, you know, some people are going to like it. Some people are not going to like it. And that's absolutely fine. But I feel we've been accepted here really well. And people love my work. And they love the gallery. And I'm so happy for the support that the community has shown us. We get people from Phoenix and all over the country.
Your stuff gets shipped to other countries.
It does. Yeah.
An amazing feeling. There's always a piece of the artist.
Yeah, it's
especially, you know, originals.
Yeah. So that part of it's, you know, I'm in people's homes, and it's an honor to have that. And you know, I also worked with Fender Custom Shop painting art guitars for years.
Wow. I was wondering, and this is a personal, just how to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm painting guitars on a canvas for someone.
Uh-huh.
But to classy make a guitar, a painting with artwork in a classy manner where you haven't ruined the sound or the finish and it doesn't just look cheesy.
Right.
Are there tricks or?
Well, the solid body, you know, Telecasters and Stratocasters are fine. I've covered them in metal, leather, collage.
And they're all playable.
Yeah, they're all playable.
Wow,
Fenders.
Even with leather, that's
but
really neat.
You have to be careful on acoustic guitars. You can't do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That'll, you know, deaden the sound. So you have to be careful on acoustic guitars.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were telling me, and you are a very gracious person. Like you said, you've always been happy. So it kind of shows in your artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really care to struggle with, you know, your self-confidence issue, and that's not a bad thing, you know, at all. You haven't. It seems that even if you did struggle, you've overcome it and let it go, and there's nothing there. But what advice would you have for someone that's just getting started, whether it's the business side of really know your area where you're starting the shop, really know your overhead and don't overjump,
right?
Or also, you know, in addition, and we do have plenty of time, you know, mentally to keep yourself in the flow of your goals and your dreams with such a big project of having a gallery in a large community.
Right. Well, I think that advice I'd give, for one thing, the art shows were invaluable for us for learning how to schedule, be on time, how to drive to a place, set up a booth, how to ship, how to do, you know, that was kind of like going to college almost. And I think that's a really important thing for young artists, maybe to do something like that if they can. And if they can't, I would suggest visiting galleries, talking to other people, reading, just all the things I still do that I think
not being afraid.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you do, that's what you do. And if you try and do something you don't normally do, then you're not going to be doing what you do best.
It's going to eventually bite you in the end.
Right.
But anyway.
I mean, I'm not sitting there trying to figure, okay, what can I do that's going to sell? What can I, okay, if I, mean, of course I need to make a living and
right,
I need to do.
Right, but just your actions of you saying that and the way you held your hands, you could see the stress that something like that causes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been very fortunate. I'm not the type of artist that stands in front of a canvas and, what am I, you know, wring my hands over
what
it.
10 things can I make? I need more canvas. Yes.
I mean, I'm working on 5 pieces at a time. I'm cycling and doing stuff. You know, that's just the way I work. I have a very short attention span and I get up in the morning and I walk into the studio and I get to work and I don't worry about if it's good or bad. You know, I just do the best I can and not every piece is a masterpiece, you know, but there's some really good ones and
what
there's some really bad ones.
What do you do with them? If they feel finished,
mm-hmm.
But like you said, they may not all be a masterpiece.
Right.
Piece. You never really know what sells. If they feel finished,
uh-huh.
But like you said, it may not. You may not be completely satisfied, but you knew you were done.
Right.
Do you sit around and dive back into them, or do you move them out of your life?
Some of them I'll move aside, and some could sit there for a long time. Some I'll paint over, just totally redo them. And, you know, you probably have done the same thing. They build up a nice crest.
Right. People are like, oh, how'd you do that? Well, I messed up 10 times.
Right.
That's how.
Yeah. I mean, there's some paintings that have 3 paintings on them. And even the old masters and artists of the past, you know, that are x-raying all those paintings, and they're finding underpaintings and scraped back paintings. So I have no problem doing that. To me, it's just like, it's just another life of the painting.
Very good. And what do you do? Now, I do art full time. I have 2 kids. I have 2 horses. I have many dogs. I do art. I care about animals. I'm also a musician, but I don't always have gigs. It's just kind of, it's because my art's first, and
right.
I just moved across the country, so that's really important to get that rolling.
Right.
But I do have music, and it's not necessarily my money maker. I do have horses. Even if I'm not a professional rider, I can go out, give them a hug, and chill myself out after a long day.
Right.
Is there anything outside of the visual arts that gives you that feeling? Do you dance? You know,
the only thing I love music, and I would love to be a musician, but I honestly don't think I have the talent for it. Mm-hmm. So what I do is,
well, I don't believe you, but keep talking.
We try and travel and have music as our hobby. We'll drive over to California. We'll go to Phoenix. We go to MIM. We see concerts and just go to a lot of music venues. And that's kind of our outside hobby. And it's still related to art. And I that's what we really enjoy to do, and travel.
Do you listen to music when you're making
Always.
Art? What do you listen to?
A lot of blues,
nice.
A lot of punk, a lot of roots music, a lot of everything. I just like my work. I like to mix it up. So.
Very cool. Wonderful. Is there anything you'd like to ask me or anything you'd like to add? Why are you laughing at me, Matt Santos?
I'm not here.
I know. Quit jazzing me on. Matt likes to get me distracted and then tell me I mess up. Can do the whole necklace thing. See, the artwork the artwork is so fine here at the Newman Gallery that Matt Santos is considering a pinky ring.
Those great.
He's walking around like a kid in a candy shop checking out artwork.
I'm walking around trying not to break stuff.
Yeah, nice. It's a pretty small place.
Did you mention these at all?
No, those are...
these are outstanding.
Those are an artist named Aaron Voigt. And they're recycled banks. They're actually piggy banks. But they're robots, and they're found object robots. And Aaron has been in our gallery, I would say, probably 5 or 6 years now.
What are these made out?
They're metal.
But no, I mean, are they actual meters and things?
They're created, yeah.
Okay.
And then he'll put gauges and, you know, just different emblems and things like that.
No, that's good. You did want to hear more about the art.
I didn't know if they were like meters that he then stripped out.
Oh, no. No, they're fully like from...
Well, now I don't like... No, I'm kidding.
I mean, he might do that too. Yeah, they're really cool pieces. So we try and carry unusual things that, you know, a lot of people don't have. So it's kind of nice to just kind of be exclusive with a lot of the pieces that we have.
How, if you're an artist and you want to come submit here at Newman Gallery, what is your process and schedule for that? Is it twice a year or?
No, I mean, we try and look at everything that people bring in, but, you know, as you can see with the space here, we're kind of limited, especially on the wall space. So if we were taking anything, it would more than likely be just jewelry at this time.
Very good. I'm doing a show at Granite Mountain Brewing right now. And it's for Valentine-y.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this artist that's amazing. She's actually a woodworker and does wood burning.
Right.
And she chisels out the boxes, but she just started her experiment in painting. And she's amazing, but they're her first two.
Right.
And they're dark. There's like naked lady with hung up with a clock face. And they're kind of dark, but I know they don't go at Granite Mountain Brewing. Do you ever suggest if something doesn't belong here? Like I found Nasty Dogs. Once those two pieces of art, they're dying to get their hands on them. So I didn't have to return it to the artist.
Right.
I found a new place. Do you ever suggest if you know an area?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually have about 30 or 40 pieces at my doctor's office here in town.
Nice.
And so I would, you know, when we first came here, my work, the very first place I showed my work was at Pangea Bakery.
Nice.
So I would suggest, you know, I've had my work at Bill's Pizza. I think that's a really good way for people to get their work out there, especially if they're just starting out, or even if they're not, you know, just a lot of people go in those places and it's a lot of people seeing your work. So I would just, you know, restaurants, coffee houses, almost anywhere within reason.
Right. And you don't take no for an answer. I mean, you do if they say no, thank you, but you keep going.
In my early days, I took no for an answer a lot easier. Now I don't have to do that as much because I keep busy enough with my galleries. But, you know, if there's a gallery that I want to get into and I try and they say no, I will try to not take just no one time.
Nice.
And talk about it.
Find out what they
yeah.
need and change a
yeah.
little bit. Very nice. Thank you, Dave Newman. We're for the third time, so we know where we can find you. One page is about you, and one page is about the gallery. And what are they?
Right, NewmanGallery.net, and then DaveNewmanStudio.com.
Address and hours?
Galleries open every day, 10 to 5.
Very good. This is Danny Fisher tuning out from the Mile High Show. This is the Kaleidoscope segment teaching or assisting you in celebrating your creative life. If you need to do some Amazon shopping, do us a favor. Go on the Mile High Show website, milehighshow.com. Press on the Amazon link and shop away. Also, if you want to go on iTunes and give us a rating, let us know how we're doing. You can also do Mile High Show. MileHighShow.com and go to our iTunes page. Give us a review. Thank you again, Dave Newman.
Thank you, Danny.
Take care.
You too.
I'm painting again.